Chaz and AJ in the morning, 99.1 PLR, Jimmy Koplik, Live Nation on the show. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Morning.
Let's start with Brian Wilson, dead at 82.
Yes, very sad. Very sad.
Yeah, I know you're very close with the band. Was Brian still touring with them when you became close with them?
Sure he was. I got very close to them in the 70s.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so I've been friends with all the members of the band, actually, for over 50 years now.
Wow.
And some of them were passed out on the floor of your house, right?
Yes, and so was I passed out on the floor of their house, too.
Exactly, simpatico.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, we treat each other equally, so, you know.
Right.
But the 70s were, as we've said before, an era of waking up and not knowing where you are, and sometimes waking up not till the next day and going, what did I do last night? And things like that, you know.
Yeah.
I think anybody listening to the show back in that lived in the 70s probably behaves similarly, I would think.
That was on today, actually. like last week.
Yeah.
But, you know, I used to go to California, and I would stay at Carl Wilson's house with his wife, and we'd go visit Brian and his wife at the time. Now he got remarried since then, and sadly, his second wife passed last year,
yeah.
Brian's. But we used to hang at Brian's house. I was there when they would write songs together. Mike Love is really my closest friend of all, living friend of the Beach Boys now. And we would go over there, and I'd watch Mike write with Brian. It was really quite something.
Wow.
I'd sit there going, oh my God, this is like genius I'm watching. And it really was genius. But Brian was a bit of an enigma. He was quiet, didn't talk much, was in his own world. And but his brother Carl and brothers Carl and Dennis were quite the opposite. They were playful and enjoyable to be with, and you know, as brothers can be, they're very different sometimes.
Yeah,
yeah. And Dennis was like the Keith Moon, John Bonham of the band. Like,
yeah,
the crazy drummer,
the wild guy.
He was crazy, he was too crazy even for me back in the 70s. Mm. He was nutty. I've seen him get in fights with people. He got really ripped a lot of times, and his wife would come over to me all the time. Karen, at the time, was his wife, and Dennis and Karen would get in some pretty big fights right in front of me. It was really quite a combustible relationship. But Brian, you know, was on the road, and then he got off the road, and Glenn Campbell took a spot in the Beach Boys for about a year. And then Glenn Campbell left to start his own career, and Bruce Johnston got in the band, and Bruce has been in the band ever since with the Beach Boys.
Wow.
The Beach Boys, the only American band to gain notoriety during the British invasion.
Them and the Four Seasons were the two, and that was it. You're right. There were only two bands that didn't get knocked out by the British invasion. Beach Boys, Four Seasons. I met the Beach Boys first. First time I met them was in 1971 when I did them in Columbus, Ohio for two shows. They were making a comeback, and I got very friendly with them because, you know, I was 20 years old at the time, and got very, very friendly with them, and they were young also. I've done 41 shows with the Beach Boys.
Wow. So far.
I looked it up in my career.
Wow.
And I have one in Syracuse coming up at the end of this month. So it's very sad. Brian, I've always said Brian wrote the soundtrack to my life. So did Mike Love. The lyrics, all. I don't want to diminish Mike Love's importance at all, because Brian was clearly the genius of the band. But Mike wrote a lot of the lyrics, and a lot of the lyrics were cars and surfing and be true to your school and things like that. Then when we were all growing up in the 60s and 70s were, you know, truly the soundtrack of our life. And I always said the Beatles are my favorite band. But the band that I really grew up to and admired and lived the life of was really the Beach Boys. And I think most Americans during that time period felt the same way.
Well, the Beach Boys and the Beatles had a tit for tat with each other, trying to one up each other each album. And when Pet Sounds came out, Paul McCartney, and I heard him say this in an interview, he heard the album and said, how do we top this one?
Right.
And they did. They came out with Sgt. Pepper's. But I mean, this was the inspiration. These two artists, their rivalry inspired music that'll live forever, one. And two, they turned rock into an art form.
No, you're right. And it was very friendly rivalry. I mean, Paul McCartney says God Only Knows by the Beach Boys. is the greatest song ever written. And when you're right, they were very competitive, but at the same time, they were very honored to be compared to the other band, because they both looked at each other as the greatest American band and the greatest British band, and they were fighting for the top, but in a friendly way, they were fighting for the
top.
So they got along very nicely, and it really was a wonderful, wonderful time period to live in, because music was going from this doo-wop period that was songs written by songwriters. It turned into the artists writing their own songs, which is the Beach Boys and the Beatles were certainly in the vanguard of artists writing their own songs, which still continues today.
Of all the 40 plus shows with the Beach Boys, did any of them feature John Stamos on drums?
Oh, sure. John was at in Bridgeport last time. We had him in Bridgeport.
And did you, you have any John Stamos stories?
And other than him being a real nice, friendly guy, no. By the time John Stamos got into the band, the hang part of the my life with them was really over. I would visit backstage and sit down with Mike Love. Mike Love and I still remain very close friends. In fact, he's being honored tonight by the Songwriters Hall of Fame. He's being inducted tonight.
Cool. Wow, that'll be a special night.
Yeah,
which will be great. I was going to go, but we have Ringo tonight at the Amp in Bridgeport.
Nice.
But Mike invited me down to sit with him, which I thought was very cool.
Wow. Of all of the people this guy has come across and have met around the world in the music industry, quite an honor to be asked by him to sit.
Seriously.
Yeah, and I would have loved to have gone down there, but getting to see Ringo Starr, meet Ringo Starr again, and say hi to him, it would just like...
See, that Beach Boys Beatle rivalry.
It's still going. It's still happening.
Wow.
Sorry, Mike. Ringo called.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you know what? It's a sad part because, Brian next week would have been 83 years old. Ringo's going to be 85 in July.
Wow.
And
looks so good, too.
Yeah, he looks great. He's in better shape than he still does jumping jacks.
What's
if I did
that?
Jumping jack, I'd tear my knee up. So, I mean, Ringo is the nice, of all the great artists that I've met, the most down-to-earth great superstar is certainly Ringo Starr.
Peace and love.
We were just talking about the passing of Brian Wilson from the Beach Boys, and also we had another one this week. It was Sly Stone from Sly and the Family Stone.
Yes, also 82 years old. Somebody said to me, 82 is the new 27. Yeah, I think you probably guys know about what 27 is.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
All the artists, yep.
Right, yeah. All the artists.
All the artists. Jim Morrison, Janis Joplin, you can go right. Jimi Hendrix, Brian Jones from the Stones. You can go right down the line. So many artists.
Kurt Cobain.
Yeah.
Kurt Cobain died at 27, you're right. And now it seems like 82 might be the new 27, which I guess is better because you're gaining 55 years of of life that way.
Yeah.
So it's not so bad. But yeah, Sly Stone, I only have done one Sly Stone concert in my 57-year career. It was back May 3, 1970. I looked it up in Columbus, Ohio. And, of course, he was late to the show. And I don't want to get crap from people saying, you know, Sly just died. Don't talk crap about him. But it was a tough night for me. I had only been in the business a little over a year at the time. Didn't quite know how to handle artists coming late to shows.
Was he your first?
No, he was my second one, actually. Chicago got snowed in Chicago, literally in Chicago.
That you kind of understand.
Yeah, but he was my first guy to screw up. No question about it. Because he was in town.
Yeah.
And he wouldn't leave his hotel room. Had other artists do that since, but it was all drug related, and he was screwed up on drugs at the time, and
stage fright.
Yeah,
it's weird. A lot of those artists, like Ann Wilson, they have stage fright.
That's amazing.
Axel,
yeah,
it would be like anxiety to go out.
Yep.
Yeah,
and that's why they did drugs to get rid of that anxiety, which is really a shame. But you couldn't tell once he got on stage. Sly was such a star on stage. So he finally gets to the gig about 2.5 hours late, and I wasn't prepared at the time. I was 20 years old, and I wasn't prepared to get on stage and talk to the audience, which I would do now. And I'm talking to the road manager, who I remember to this day, what do I do? And he said, he'll be here, don't worry. He finally got to the show. He did his show, At the end of the show, I went backstage because I usually at that point met all the artists because I was the same age as the artists. Now, if I went backstage to say hi to the artists, they probably think I'm a narc or something.
Yeah.
Well, who's Grandpa? What's he walking in for?
Right.
And so I would see the artists, and I remember sitting down with the manager, who was really nice at the time, a guy named Ken, Sly comes over and apologizes for being late and says, you know, sit down and let's party together. And I look over there, and there's this giant Hellman's bottle of mayonnaise. It was a mayonnaise bottle. And I look over there, and it looked like it was filled with sugar. So I go over there, and I go, wow. I said, that's interesting. He goes, you want some? I go, well, I really don't want. Is there coffee? I'll put sugar in my coffee. No problem.
Oh, funny.
Stupid me. It certainly wasn't coffee. He took out a little spoon, but it wasn't a spoon, a coffee spoon. It was a different type, a little tiny spoon that he took out. So he carried around literally a giant Hellman's mayonnaise bottle of cocaine at the time, and
booger sugar.
That's what he traveled with.
I hope he washed it first.
Never saw anything before, and never have seen anything like that since. In all my years of being backstage, it was something that was remarkable to look at. And,
right.
So that's my memory of Sly is him being late and having this giant Hellman's mayonnaise bottle filled with coke.
Another musical genius.
And tiny spoons. Yes.
Tiny little, yeah,
tiny
that's spoons.
Right. Tiny spoons.
Why do you have such small spoons for your sugar?
It's all you need. Hey,
I was so stupid, I didn't figure it out until he offered me some. So, but now, then I saw, okay, this is why this guy's always late. He can't go to sleep.
Yep,
he's
right.
Up all night.
Yep.
That's right.
Yep, probably.
Jimmy Koplik, Live Nation, on the show. We were talking last week about concert moments you remember, and somebody called in a Bad Company show, and this got, you know, a number of calls, and you may remember this show. It was in the 70s. It was the Burning Sky album tour, and apparently they got a little bit, Bad Company got a little bit into their show, and Paul Rodgers took the mic stand and threw it into the drum set.
Oh, bad behavior.
Walked off. Everybody stood there like, what? Are they coming back? And then the lights come up and everyone leaves.
Mm.
Do you remember?
And it was at the Coliseum.
Yes.
Yes.
They're being very bad.
There it is.
Very Bad Company.
Yeah, they were Bad Company. Very bad.
Bad. You're bad. Who's a Bad Company?
Well, you know, artists can be very, very temperamental, I guess is the best way to say it.
Right.
Artists are very different. They're not human beings. They're magical people. I mean, think about that. They music comes into their head. They can write music that nobody else can write. It's different than every other song. I marvel at what they do. I can't figure it out. They don't necessarily come from musical families. They just, something pops into their head. God put something in their brain that makes them be able to write music. And every time I have to deal with an artist, half the time I'm scared because they're different human beings than normal human beings. So you have to be very tender with them. And
yeah.
Listen, I've had that problem with Roger Daltrey at the Meadows a couple of, you know, back in the 90s, where he couldn't stand the earpieces in his ear, kept having a lot of fuzz in him. And at the end of the show, he goes backstage and says to Townsend, I'm not walking back to do the encore, takes a teacup, and after having a little sip of tea, throws it down on the floor. And it splatters all over the place. We didn't care about the tea, but the glass cup splattered all over the place.
Yeah.
And went into my head of security's eye.
Oh,
and down he went. We had to take him to the hospital, and he sued the Who. He sued the Who. And
wow.
You know what? Roger Daltrey had to go to the hospital, apologize to him. And they had already gone out on the road, and he had to fly back to Connecticut. And the guy said, I'll drop the lawsuit if he apologizes to me in person. Roger Daltrey had to come back, fly from Pittsburgh back to Hartford, and apologize. And the guy dropped the suit.
Wow.
So artists are very temperamental. No question about it.
Yeah.
It's not as easy and fun as most people think our job
is. No. Not for those artists.
No.
You're putting yourself out there.
Right. But boy, the sound must have made when that thing hit the bass drum.
That must have been.
Boom. Well, the sky is burning.
Yeah, those mic stands are heavy at the bottom, too.
My temper's burning, too.
Well, it is their art. It's sort of like throwing something at somebody's painting after they've painted it. It is their art, and we have to be respectful of it.
Right.
Yeah, and there's... do we have that audio of that person jumping on stage? Who's it?
Which Katy Perry.
Katy Perry.
She's doing a show, and some guy jumped on stage.
All right, here's the audio. She's trying to plow through.
Right. Trying to. He's like, where's security?
Yeah. How do you feel about that?
I hate it. I hate it. I don't think people should interrupt any concert like that.
No.
You know, it's the artist stage. I remember with David Lee Roth at the Coliseum in 83 or 84, I think it was. And it was right around July 4th, and somebody threw a firecracker on stage. And he told the band to... toned down. He wanted to talk to the audience. He said the next mother trucker that throws something on the stage is going to get brought up on the stage and personally beat their ass.
Nice.
And nobody.
He could do it back then.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He could do it back then.
He was doing karate.
He was like Thor.
Yeah.
He looked like Thor back then. And I was watching the whole thing, and nobody threw a thing on stage. And then he said, who did it? And 9,000 people pointed to this one person.
They all narked. Nice. They all narked.
It was so I set my security up, and we just beat the hell out of the guy. And the audience loved it when we're beating the hell out of the guy for throwing a firecracker on stage.
Right. Then the guy's thinking, someone get me a doctor.
Jimmy Koplik, Live Nation on the show. Let's talk to this guy because he's going to Ringo tonight.
Okay.
Nick.
Hello.
Hey, you're on with Jimmy.
Hey, Chaz. Hey, AJ.
Hey.
Hey.
Jimmy, tonight is my 21st time seeing Ringo.
Wow.
Wow.
It doesn't get old. I'm a diehard fan. A diehard. You know, and I just can't wait. Can't wait. And the first time I saw him was at Lake Compounds, if you remember. That was his first tour.
And, nope, don't remember that, though. Do not remember that.
Yeah, that was his first tour. He had Levon Helm there, and it was real good. Awesome. But I'll tell you what, Jimmy, if you're talking to him, tell him you got a couple of guys that was talking to you, and it's our 21st time seeing him. And don't get old.
I will tell him that. I appreciate that.
Don't get old.
And let me tell you, he is a perfect example of... go see them before they stop touring.
Yep.
Yeah.
Because we had two terrible deaths this week. And I think that, and Chaz says this all the time when we do our shows, don't miss out the great stars of all time because you might never see them again. Billy Joel just, is taking 2 years off. And you never know. You never know. So when you get the great stars of the... Of your, go see them because you might never get a chance to see them again.
Yeah, I mean, Ringo will be 85 next month, you know?
Yeah, and he's in better shape than me. He'll probably tour till he's 105.
I know, he's in great shape, you know?
Hey, what's up with that?
Yeah, he's got this magic serum.
I think he's a vampire. It's Lestat.
Well,
enjoy the
tonight.
Show. I'll be enjoying it myself.
Cool.
All right. Can't wait for tonight.
Thank you, Nick.
It really is a great show because it's not only Beatle hits, it's Men at Work hits, it's Toto hits, it's all the artists that play with him play the songs that they're famous for. It's really just the greatest hits night of music.
It's awesome.
Who's in the band tonight?
Well, I know Colin Hay from Men at Work is on.
Oh,
Greg
Messina
from Toto is in it.
Right.
So I know they are, but it's the first night of his tour. He rehearsed at Oakdale on... Monday and Tuesday.
Oh, crap.
Wow. Yep. Nice.
So he rehearsed at Oakdale, took yesterday off, and today he is coming down to Bridgeport to play the show. And tomorrow night, he's at Radio City. But tonight's the first day of his tour.
Must be low 60s tonight. Tell him to wear a jacket.
Yeah, he got really cold last night. That's what we had in Bridgeport. he really complained to me how cold it was, and I said, when I booked you back in March for September, I had no idea what the weather was going to be like.
He had a parka on.
He did. He had a parka on. You're absolutely right. He had a parka, a windbreaker parka on. It was so cold. And I promised him next time I would get him a heater. So tonight when I see him, I'm going to say, I did great. I got you a heater. Look how hot it is.
Nice.
Hottest day of the year.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's funny. Wear a jacket.
Oh, we had to get him a jacket halfway through the show. Had to get him a jacket.
Have one handy just in case.
We have a lot of October shows in Bridgeport now. We're getting heaters for the side of the stage for October.
Oh, nice.
That
nice. Great. About it. That's awesome.
We're going to get heaters.
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah, we are. We're definitely going to get heaters.
Mike from Massachusetts, what's your question for Jimmy?
Hi, Jimmy. How are you?
Good, thanks.
I saw Ozzy back, should I say, 81, back in Springfield, Mass, when Brian Adams opened up with it for him, at the time.
Wow.
Really?
And question is, I know Ozzy's putting on a concert July 5th. What are the chances, like they would do a big, screen in, some of the, concert stadiums, that so people could watch it there, at the concert?
I think they're talking about that. I think one of the streaming services is now negotiating with them to stream the whole event.
And where are you? And for live streaming, where do you go? On to the Black Sabbath thing, or you go to Ozzy's thing to try to watch it?
I think it's going to be on something like Netflix or Hulu or Disney or something. I think that's who they're talking to.
Just keep your eyes open.
And I was also pretty shocked that Disney did the live thing of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. You know, figure being like a family orientation thing and with the swearing in there, I'm pretty shocked they put that on there.
Yeah, it's a new world out there.
It's a new world. But other than that, I just wondered about that, and not too much I really wanted to ask, but you guys are doing a great job. I know you guys have been around for a long time, and I've been listening to PR for a long time. I remember back in the day, she was an antenna, trying to get in Massachusetts where I live, trying to pick you guys up. It was kind of hard.
It's the magic of PLR.
Yep.
It really is.
Listen online. That's what's great about PLR.
I remember listening to Smith and Barber back in the days, too,
But never heard of them.
Great job.
Just kidding. I'm kidding.
No, we love them both.
I was doing the overnights, and it was an honor to watch them start their show every morning.
Love them both.
Thank you, man.
Okay.
All right.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Yep.
Bye.
Okay. Jeff in Monroe.
Hey, how you guys doing today?
Good.
Thank you. Why can't we get Nickelback?
It's a good question. Hopefully we'll get them next year.
Said no one.
No, they're very popular.
Nah, I'm
still.
Kidding.
Yeah.
They sold out in Massachusetts a year and a half ago.
Yeah, well, we have the real the original Nickelback, Creed, this year. So
nice.
Even better. Yeah, yeah.
They should tour together.
Hopefully
they sound the same to me.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, thanks, guys.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, you know what? I went to a Nickelback concert, one of yours, Jimmy, and, I didn't get it until I got there, and I saw how fan-friendly they are, and I'm like, I understand this.
Yeah.
Not for me, but I understand it.
They're
very, very fan-friendly.
I go see them.
And it's one song after another where you're like, oh, that's right, they do this one, too.
Yep.
Yeah, it's a night of hits. It's a good show.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And they're good on stage, and they are friendly, and they meet the audience, and, they'll tour next year, I'm sure.
Cool.
Rod Stewart's been canceling shows, but Live Nation just announced one, right?
Yeah, one that Live Nation announced was actually the night that he was supposed to play at MetLife with Billy Joel. It's July 18th.
Oh.
So he's going to be in New Jersey anyway, so he's playing PNC Arts Center. But I probably shouldn't say what I'm about to say, but I will say it anyway, and hope it doesn't get me in any trouble. Which you guys always seem to get me in trouble anyway, we'll see what happens. But he did cancel 8 shows, 6 in Vegas and 2 in California. And the night of one of the shows that he canceled, I was out in L.A. this past week. And I was at the Beverly Hills Hotel, and as I'm walking out to dinner, guess who's walking into dinner looking healthy as anything?
Playing hooky.
There he was, walking right. I didn't say hi to him. But he walked right by me, and I looked at him, and I said, boy, that's Rod Stewart. He's supposed to be in Vegas tonight.
Right. Oops.
He's having dinner at the Beverly Hills Hotel. But he had the flu, so maybe he couldn't. There's a difference between having dinner and performing.
That's right.
That's right.
So I guess he needed some time off. But We have him at Mohegan Sun July 25th, so we're looking forward to that.
That's nice.
He's excellent. Truly one of my favorites of all time, Mike. I'm going to go out to Vegas, I think, at the beginning of October to see the Eagles at the Sphere and Rod Stewart at Caesar's Palace.
That's cool.
Nice.
Nice trip.
Yeah, what a great weekend. Two of my favorite acts of all
time. Seriously, yeah.
Well, enjoy Ringo tonight.
I will.
Yes.
Oh, wow. All right, Jimmy Coffey, Live Nation. Thank you, brother.
Thanks.